And these psalms might be likened to a psalter within the psalter. And also they're really, I think, they give themselves to a study of discipleship as they would form and shape and mold us. And so we're going to be looking at these songs of ascent over the next several weeks. But let's look now at Psalm 120, beginning in verse 1. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So this evening, as we look at this, we'll be looking at three things. One, we'll be looking at the pilgrim's trouble, the pilgrim's help, and the pilgrim's yearning as we look at this, the 120th psalm. As I mentioned, these are the psalms of ascent. And so many commentators believe these were the psalms that were regularly sung and chanted as the people of God on three occasions each year had to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And as we go into this series of the Songs of Ascent, I think as we read through these psalms, we will get a sense of nearing that place that the pilgrim desires, coming to the end of his journey, coming to Jerusalem, where they may worship God. And as we look tonight at Psalm 120, it falls on the heels of that last verse of Psalm 119, where if you recall last week, the psalmist ended that great psalm by admitting that he is like a straying sheep and he is in need of God to come as his shepherd and retrieve him, to bring him back. And so Psalm 120 falls nicely right on the heels of verse 176. Because in the first verse of Psalm 120, we see that he says, in my distress. The Hebrew word that's used here for this distress has a likeness to that of being caged or confined. And so there is something that is causing a great deal of anxiety for the psalmist. And he desires to escape that sense of being caged. And so his response then is to call out to the Lord. He describes the kind of hardships that he is facing in verse 2. We see that the psalmist writes about those who are engaged against him, who are persecuting him, who are utilizing their lips, their tongues, as we read in James chapter 3, to inflict great damage upon him, to slander him. And many have suggested that this was a psalm that may have been written by David and perhaps falls on the heels of his recalling his engagement with Doeg the Edomite. If you think back to 1 Samuel 21 and 22, where David goes and he is given the showbread by Ahimelech, and Doeg happens to be present when that occurs, and he takes a report of what has happened back to Saul. And Saul is enraged that the priests of God would have extended that gift to David. And in fact, Saul wants to have all of those priests killed. And when his men wouldn't do it, Doeg says he will go and he will slay the priests. And he's not even content to stop with the priests, but he goes on and kills both wives and children at Nob. And we see this written of by David also in Psalm 52. If you want to go back to Psalm 52 later and look at that. But this is the kind of difficulty that is facing the author here. That those who would seek to do him harm are utilizing their tongues to slander him, to make false accusations against him. And we see here that this has caused a great deal of trouble for this pilgrim. He goes on here to demonstrate where it is that he looks for his help. This pilgrim calls out to God. You see, oftentimes when people make attacks against us, when they engage in slander against us, it's a difficulty for us not to respond in kind, for us not to utilize that weapon of the tongue ourselves and to lash out against them, to engage tit for tat, to respond in kind. But here we see that the psalmist doesn't do that. The psalmist doesn't seek to fight this battle himself, but instead he calls out to God. And why does he do that? He says, "In my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me." This is something he has already demonstrated himself faithful to do. This has been the practice of the psalmist in his times of difficulty. And if you think back to the life of David, if this is a psalm that has been written by David throughout his dealings with Saul, and when Saul was persecuting him, he called out on many occasions, and God had demonstrated himself continually faithful in delivering him from the efforts of Saul and his men as he was forced to hide in the wilderness. He calls out to God. He knows that it is God who will be more able than he ever would be to turn this situation, to deliver him, to grant to him the deliverance and peace that he desires. And so his first response is a prayer to his first responder, that of God. He calls on God, and he does not respond in kind. We see here that he is confident that if he hands this over to God, that God is the rightful judge to deal with those who would lash out against him, who would lash out against the servants of God. And we see his confidence in God's judgment as he describes in verse 3, "What shall be given to you?" He's speaking now of those who are utilizing their deceitful tongues. "What more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue?" And he describes that which God has described is the right reward for those who war against the things of God. He likens it to a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. That God's justice, God's judgment upon those who are persecuting the servant of God will result in great fire and calamity. We have here what may be likened to the pictures of hell that describe the judgment of God that is expected on all those who will not and do not repent and turn to him. That they will be attacked with these sharp arrows of glowing coal. He describes these as arrows utilizing the coals of the broom tree. And the broom tree was this bush that would grow up to about 12 feet in height. And it had a structure that would cause it to burn extremely hot, such that if those coals were attached to an arrow and they hit a thatch roof, they would spring into flame. They would cause great destruction. And we saw in James chapter 3 as the tongue was described as an instrument that caused great disaster. We are here reminded that the judgment of God far surpasses even the damage that our tongues can inflict, and they will continue to burn forever. And so the pilgrim's help is the Lord in verses 1 and verse 4. But we also see the pilgrim's yearning. I mentioned these are psalms that were regularly sung by those who would go to Jerusalem. And so at the outset of these songs of ascent, we hear the yearning. And we find that the psalmist describes that he presently is dwelling or sojourning in Meshech or Kedar. Now, if you look in your Bible notes, you'll probably see that Meshech is up in Turkey, and Kedar is that area of Saudi Arabia. So he wasn't dwelling in both of these places together, but this is to help us understand that he is dwelling outside of God's land. He's dwelling among pagans, among the heathen, among those who do not know or love or worship God. He's far from where he desires to be. And so it seems suitable that Psalm 120 is the first one that we come to in these songs of ascent, where we see the heart of the psalmist on display as he yearns to be in a place where God's people gather together, where they worship him, where he might have a bit of respite from the mocking of his neighbors and from the attacks of those who seek to cut him down and do him harm with their tongues. And so we hear the yearning of the heart of this pilgrim as he would desire to leave this place of hostility where he presently is sojourning, where he is a foreigner, where it is abundantly clear to him that what he lives for is not what his neighbors live for. He's awed in the eyes of those around him. This is not his home. He yearns for something greater. And how many of us have that sense as well? Tomorrow we return to our jobs, to the workplace, and many may find yourselves working in secular employment where there aren't a number of Christians present. And day in and day out, you hear their mocking of God. You hear them taking lightly the name of God. Perhaps you are ridiculed in that place. And it weighs heavy upon your heart, such that when the weekend finally comes, you begin to look forward to an opportunity to gather with God's people, to be refreshed, to be strengthened in God's word. When I was a kid, I remember once a year, the family conferences would come around, and we'd look forward to that opportunity to go and to have that chance to gather with God's people for a week and to be about the study of His Word and worshiping throughout the week and hearing testimony from God's people. It was that mountaintop experience, and it really was, because we were doing this out in Colorado, you know, at Horn Creek, at 9,000 feet, it was a mountaintop experience. But I can remember as we would all pack our things and we would get into the van and we would begin to make that trek across that long state of Kansas and upon that even longer part of eastern Colorado, when the mountains, the foothills of Colorado would finally be able to be seen, and you just would feel your hearts leap within you as you knew you were getting close and that was about to begin. Well, here, that same kind of mindset is likely occupying the minds of each of these pilgrims of God as three times during the year, as they, in obedience to God's command, would go for the appointed festivals, they would begin their journeys. And many of those daily stresses would fall away, especially as they were joined upon the road by other worshipers of God who would join with them and be lifting their voices in praise to God and looking forward with great anticipation to ascending that great hill and worshiping God together. We have in this first psalm the beginning of that great anticipation. says, "Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace." And each one of us know that while we reside in this life, our life is rarely going to be filled with peace. We're going to be surrounded by those who are at war with the things of God. We find ourselves within this nation or other nations where there is a great war that is being carried out against the things of God. It is not peaceful, but we yearn for peace. John Bunyan, in his great work, Pilgrim's Progress, lays before us that aspiration of that great pilgrim looking forward to the celestial city. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that too should be our aspiration, that our focus is upon that city that was not built by human hands, that city that God has built for us, where He has chosen for His children to reside forevermore. May we too, like the psalmist, desire for that peace that is lasting, that peace that has been secured for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. For He took us from being enemies of God, warring with Him, and He provided us new hearts, that old nature being put away, and in its place a yearning for, a desire after, a hunger for the Word of God, a delight in the commands of God. For now we see them with new eyes, eyes that see the commandments of God as blessed things for our good, that yield for us an understanding of what it is that God demands of us and what it is that will delight our Heavenly Father that we may engage in for the glory of His name. It has ignited within us a desire to see those who presently labor alongside us in the workplace, who presently are walking in darkness, become acquainted with the glorious light of Jesus Christ, such that we would take the opportunities God would afford us to speak of our hope and desire for a peace that is utterly unknown to those who do not walk with Christ, but yet which God may be pleased through the work of His Holy Spirit to open the eyes and enable the minds of those who work alongside us, that they may know this peace, that they may become fellow pilgrims on this journey unto that celestial city promised to all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have been acquainted with the trouble that faces this pilgrim, that faces us as pilgrims on this journey. We've been reminded where we turn for our help. We turn to God, entrusting these things to His most capable hands. And we've been reminded of that for which we yearn, the peace of Zion, as we would walk along this journey, led by God's Holy Spirit, until that time that we come to that place He has prepared and where we will dwell forevermore. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You do not leave us, Your sheep, unattended and left to wander. But we thank You for our good shepherd, who, when we have cried out, hears the bleating of us, and He comes and He gathers us up. Lord, each one of us faces various forms of hostility in this life. Lord, we pray that our first response, Lord, would be to seek You, to cry out to You, to utilize this avenue of prayer, trusting full well, Lord, that Your judgments are right. And You have proven Yourself time and again to be faithful. Lord, not a one who is presently within Your hand can be snatched away. And we are comforted to know that we are safely within your grasp, all those who call upon the name of Christ. Lord, we yearn to be with you. And we thank you, Lord, for this foretaste of heaven that you give to us at the beginning of each week as we can gather at your throne and worship you together. We thank you, Lord, that these pilgrim psalms can be our psalms each and every week as we travel throughout the week in anticipation of gathering again to worship you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would sustain us in this week to come, that you would guide and direct our steps. Lord, that you would give us boldness to sing the praises of Christ to those around us. That, Lord, our pilgrim journey would not be one of isolation, but rather we would see the might of your arm on display as you are pleased to add men, women, and children to those who call upon the name of Christ and would join with us in singing your praises. Build your church, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.